Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am introducing a relatively new company, especially a new company on this site. The company is called Electric Royalties, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ELEC. I'm chatting with the CEO, Brendan Urich. Now, Brendan, as I guess the name kind of leads to, Electric Royalties, the company is a royalty company really focused on some of the metals around this whole electrification and electric vehicle movement. So some of the metals that are highlighted from the company are lithium, copper, nickel, tin, graphite, cobalt, and vanadium, all with the goal of here building up a royalty company in this sector that really is under service by royalty companies. We've seen an explosion of royalty companies focused mostly still on the precious metals and the odd base metal, but the whole electrification narrative, you guys really are, from my understanding, the only royalty company that is focused in this sector that actually has cash flow. That all came from an acquisition announced yesterday. Before we get into that news, Brendan, please just give us a general overview of why you started up Electric Royalties with a focus on this whole electrification and EV narrative.
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much for that introduction. You know, first, there's kind of two parts to this. So the very first part was, you know, we want to do something different. We want to build something that, you know, is maybe a bit of a lower risk profile than your traditional mining investment. You know, and so really it was a very obvious choice. You know, the royalty business model is by far the best business model we've come up with yet in mining to date. You know, it offers diversification, you know, in our case, across not only assets, but commodities as well. You don't need to build out a big team to build a very, you know, large royalty company. You know, the best and the biggest among us, you know, Franco-Nevada has got about a $25 billion market cap, and I think they only have, you know, 25 people. You know, where you count that with you know, putting a small mine into production, you might need to hire, you know, 70 people, and you might trade at a hundredth of size. You know, the other nice thing is, you know, there's no ongoing holding cost for royalties, right? You have an upfront cost, and then basically it costs you nothing to hold it. You're not on the hook for, you know, any development cost to move that project along. That's all being done by operators. And you also trade at much higher premiums. You know, if you look at the valuation and the multiples, you know, I'd like to joke I could spend the next, you know, 30 years building out a Rio Tinto, the most global diversified producer out there on the planet, and I might get, you know, 7 or 8 times cash flow in the market. You know, whereas royalty companies are typically trading, you know, 20 to 25 times cash flow. So, you know, same cash flow, different multiple. You know, and so a lot of reasons to like the royalty business model, that was an obvious choice. Then you kind of look at, you know, well, where do we play in this market? And, you know, you look at the precious metal space, it's pretty packed. You know, there's been 5 or 6 established players in that space for a long time. You know, they're paying, you know, almost equal to NPV on stuff. So it's getting kind of expensive, probably because of, you know, such intense competition in that space. You know, and there's not a whole, you know, a lot of projects out there that you could really go after. You know, so it was not a market that we felt like we could really grow in quick and do it, you know, competing against guys that have much bigger pockets than we do. And, you know, so we looked at, you know, well, where else could we potentially go? And we did see a need, a kind of a niche that wasn't being fulfilled. You know, there's not a whole lot of capital available for, you know, the lithium groups and the graphite groups and the manganese groups, although that does seem to be changing. But that just presented, you know, an opportunity where you see 2 decades of exponential growth across all these commodities. You know, something that I don't think has happened in human history before, where you have such a large new source of demand hitting so many different commodities all at once. And so we really see, like I said, 2 decades of exponential growth. So we see a market demand opportunity. You know, the groups don't have access to capital as easily as some of the precious metal space do. So you're seeing, you know, dilution being a much more of a concern to these groups, which means, you know, royalties are much more attractive financing. You know, and on some of these commodities, we're not competing with anybody. You know, if you look at the valuation of what we paid on our initial acquisitions, it was somewhere in the range of, you know, 0.05 times NPV. So, you know, almost 1/20th of the cost of what you're seeing, you know, in the precious metal space. So, you know, that's kind of the, you know, the one and two, the main key points of, you know, why royalty model and why this space.
All right, let's talk company specifics then. In terms of total royalties within the company, I understand there are 14 royalties, two of which were just acquired yesterday. Let's use that acquisition as a jumping point here, because that's a key acquisition. You did acquire one royalty that is cash flowing for the company. Please give us some insights on how this deal came together and the importance now of having this cash flowing royalty.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. Yeah, we're excited about that. I think 95% of the mining companies out there never actually achieve cash flow. So it's a big milestone in and of itself. We really like this asset. You know, it's really strategically tied to the only primary zinc producer in the U.S. You know, it's operated by Trafigura, one of the biggest trading houses on the planet. $147 billion in revenue last year. It's been paying off about almost close to $5 million over the past 3.5-4 years, and we're seeing it, being a royalty that produces anywhere from, $1 million to $2.5 million a year in royalty cash flow from us. Really something that's definitely gives us a base and a foundation to get going. It's still got, 15 years of mine life based on current resources, and we think there's significant exploration potential to pay beyond that. We kind of think this will just keep on going and paying for much longer than 15 years, as it were. It's already produced about 2.7 billion pounds over the past 50 years. And it's, strategically located in the U.S. So we're really excited about that. It definitely changes the game. This is actually a royalty that came from a group we've already done a deal with initially. They vended us about 7 of our initial, assets that got us started last year as we went public in July. So, just kind of another successful partnership with this group, Globex, and really excited to have this cash flow to help us kind of build out here as we move forward. It's going to be an exciting time over the next few months.
So when it comes to future acquisitions, or at least target acquisitions, because you have, made the argument that there is less competition out there, what are the type of assets in terms of stage or even jurisdiction that you are focused on?
Yeah, so we're really definitely focused on advanced stage. The later the better. That obviously means they're closer to producing cash flow for you, paying cash flow. So cash flow and advanced stage assets is key. And when you look around, there's only so many advanced projects in each of these commodities, that we feel could be the source of supply domestically for, say, North America, Europe, Australia. We're trying to kind of target those most advanced ones, but at the same time, we are open to a little bit earlier stage projects. These are really thin development pipelines. Even if you put all those advanced projects into production, you're going to need more. And so we have taken a stab and are always open to kind of earlier stage, but cash flow is important. Cash flow lets us pay dividend at some point here in the near future. Cash flow lets us grow without having to dilute shareholders. Advanced stage assets that we can see and cash flow is definitely, king in our mind right now.
So with the metals that you guys are targeting, 7 in total that I'm counting here, what's the importance of staying diversified for the company?
I don't think the benefits of diversification can be overstated. It reduces your risk in a big way and kind of ensures that, mining is a risky game on a one-on-one basis. So you definitely want to be diversified against projects. It's also, a changing landscape, right? You have different competing technologies. You have changing battery makeups. I think ultimately all of these metals are going to see, quite a boost in demand over the next 10, 20 years. And so, we think it is important to be diversified across all of them. You never want to be too heavily into one. What we are looking at, we're looking at all of them. We're looking at lithium, manganese, zinc, copper, nickel, tin, graphite, cobalt, and vanadium at the moment. And there's even potentially a few that we could add on. We really like tin. Tin's quite interesting. We don't actually have tin exposure yet, but we are looking to get that in the near term. Graphite's very interesting. There's been a lot of interest just kind of coming into the sector in the last 4 months. It was 10 years those guys had no love. It might have been 2 investors on the planet that really liked graphite. But you're starting to see some bigger groups come in. It's really unique across all these different commodities. There just isn't a very robust supply pipelines, and I don't think, the broader market is necessarily noticed just how thin these supply pipelines are. So, if you can get exposure to the key assets, most advanced assets out there, today, you're going to look really smart, 3-5 years in the future.
So, Brandon, some of these metals come as byproducts in different projects. Yes, there are some, let's say, just cobalt-only or graphite-only projects, but some are also, again, byproducts. Do you guys have a preference as to whether it is the primary asset or a secondary metal in the deposit?
I wouldn't necessarily call it a preference per se, but at the same time, it can be a little bit trickier. If it is a secondary asset, it's easier for operators to potentially, cut that out of the mine plan or tweak recoveries towards the primary metal. I mean, I find that, it's better, it's just kind of safer that way, if it is the primary metal. But at the same time, we haven't yet to date actually done a royalty agreement whereby we'll pick apart necessarily which metal is included or not. We did split that once on a vanadium iron ore project because that's, what we had to do, but we typically like to have, a royalty that covers all of the ground and all the metals that would be produced as any, part of any mining operation.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about share structure then. This is a relatively new company, about 52 million shares outstanding and a pretty tight share structure in the terms of who holds shares. Can you give us a breakdown of what management and directors own, as well as any other key significant shareholders, please?
Yeah, sure. So, We did just kind of get started. We went public, in the middle of COVID last year, closed that process off kind of end of July, August. And so we've just been kind of getting off the ground. We do have, 14 royalties to date. We have a little bit over 50 million shares outstanding. Of that, myself and, my family combined are the largest single shareholder of the company. I think we're close up to 20% now. We add all of us together. Management has a good stakehold as well. We have a couple big institutional groups that are key shareholders to us, including Commodities Capital and Pathfinder Asset Management. The majority from there is mostly high net worth individuals and a couple groups of investment banks. We've got guys like Ian Telfer and Paul Matysik and David Elliott. Some well-known faces and names in the mining industry. It's very tightly held. There's not a whole lot of, loose stock out there at this point. And we're excited to see where we can kind of grow this in the future over the next couple of years.
Brandon, can you also give us a background on yourself, please? What brought you into this sector? How long have you been in it for and other companies that you have worked for?
Yeah, sure. So I started out my career in London with Endeavor Financial going back to kind of 2012 at this point in time. Back then gold was trading at, I think, 1900 and, copper was back up at 450. About 2 weeks after I joined the industry, Gold went from about 1900 to 1300. A lot of projects people were working on and a lot of groups that were looking at financing kind of walked away. But I spent my entire career basically focused on alternative financing, project financing, M&A advisory, et cetera, for the junior mining space. And that's, my experience. So I have experience, putting new royalty deals together, advising companies on them, from project financing upwards. So this has really been my, kind of bread and butter and experience my entire career. It's really helpful in terms of, when you look at some of the groups out there, there's not very many groups that have been able to actually put together, new royalties. And I think there's a lot of advantages to that. And that really comes from my background.
Okay. Let's wrap it up then quickly with just a little comment on what investors or those watching the company can expect in terms of news flow coming out of Electric Royalties, please.
Yeah, so it's definitely an exciting time to be getting in on the story and to begin following us. We really kind of got up to a bit of a slower start at the end of last year after going public, but we put out a big update trying to capture all the progress on our royalties at the beginning of the year. Then we closed out the Seymour Lake lithium royalty in February. We've just announced this royalty acquisition yesterday. For these two royalties, and we've got a really good pipeline coming. I think, we're definitely going to see exponential growth on the news front here as we move forward. And, it's funny, the more deals that you do, the more that seem to come to you wanting to do a deal. So we've got a lot of inbound traffic now, groups looking to sell royalties. And, I expect that we'll try and keep up a pretty good pace here, at least closing or announcing, one every, 2-3 weeks, at least every month for sure.
All right. Hey, Brendan, I really appreciate the update here. If anybody has any follow-up questions regarding any of the strategies here at Electric Royalties, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I will get those answered for you. And in the meantime, we will follow up as some more news, hopefully on the acquisition front, hits the market. Brendan, I appreciate the update today. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for having me.